Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always, to hang out with you. And you're going to be glad you hung out with me, too, because we've got Judith Glazer on the show. Judith is a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is the author of a number of books, including Creating We, which was one of the best business books of 2005. Her new book is called, the newest one, I think this is the newest one, the DNA of Leadership. She's an executive coach, the president of Benchmark Communication, and a very important member of our Brain Trust. Judith Glazer, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be back, Tim.
It's always a pleasure. Now, I've got that in right order, right? Creating We and then the DNA of Leadership.
Yes, but you know what's so interesting about it? It took me 10 years to get Creating We to the right publisher because people kept saying nobody wants to talk about this Creating We thing. It's just too fuzzy. It's too soft for business. You know the whole story. It's the soft stuff that's the hard stuff. So if we ignore it for a long time, maybe it'll go away.
Right.
But it took 10 years to get it published, and when it did, it came out in 2005, and it was published in multiple languages immediately. It was really quite exciting, and my publisher even made a new imprint around We-Centric Thinking. But what happened in 2008, last year, is it resurfaced again, and it got re-awarded in a higher category.
Wow.
Which is really exciting. Warren Bennis was one of my heroes. He's kind of the father of leadership. My book was, I was the only female in the same category of leadership that he won his award in 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, see, Judith, this is completely predictable.
Is it?
Yes.
Tell me so.
Because
why?
We have no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only that we know winners when we see winners, Judith. That's the reason we found you. We knew we hung on to you. I mean, this is completely predictable. I'm not trying to take credit for your success. I'm just trying to say to my audience that, you know, we have no chopped liver here. Only the best for my audience. And I'm not surprised because of the work that you do. I've seen the work you do, Judith, and it's way up on the top shelf. And so congratulations on that. And you know what my grandmother would say about this, don't you? The cream always rises to the top.
Well, I love your grandmother, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of the things, some of the elements that caused your work to continue to be recognized.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most, what is that soft, fuzzy thing that you think, that you believed in so much that others maybe didn't in the beginning or for a while? What is that soft fuzzy? What literally is that thing that you thought was so important?
Yeah. So this is the big frame for this. And if I get too philosophical, you always bring me down to the ground again. I hope that you'll do that in this case. Over about 150 years, maybe even longer, there's been a dynamic push and pull or tug of war between times in history when eyes have been important. Like in the 60s, you know, or there's certain rebellious times when people want to speak up and have a voice. That's the I voice. And other times when the we voice is important, kind of the community comes together. Mm-hmm. And historically, they've been tug of war with each other. One for a period of time, 50 years, 30 years, and then another one. And what started to happen is that as we've learned more about how the brain works, and we've learned that the brain does work with dynamic tensions, like the left brain and the right brain. One is creative and it's pushing to new things, and the left brain is a stable brain that wants to have things a certain way. Well, that's how the brain works. But I said, let's shatter that old paradigm. And let's say, what happens if we say that we're at a time in history where it's the I's developing inside of the we's so that they're not in competition with each other, that those concepts are not in competition?
What if they could coexist?
And
successfully
in
an era.
In an era. Let's make this era. How do we develop the unique I's inside the concept of we? Mm-hmm. And so when people say there's no I in team, there is, you know, I is what the word team is made out of.
Right.
Right? And so if we can cultivate environments where we can appreciate and honor and respect and cultivate what people now call the, what is it called, dissidence? you know, there's positive dissonance, which even is a funny way, our languaging of this is so funny, you know.
Right.
Is that if we develop people's ability to think in new ways and different ways, and if we teach leaders, which is what we're doing in our, in a lot of our new work, is we help leaders shape conversational environments so that the eyes can grow, expand, and trigger more great thinking.
None of this happens without mutual respect and trust.
Correct.
What you just described, the universe that you just laid out, must have mutual respect and trust, which creates an environment where everybody believes that you know they can be successful individually as well as in a team. We're going to come right back after these messages. One of the things I liked about Judith's commitment to her idea, that's what you do, small business owners. You believe in things. You believe in yourself when others don't. And many times, most of the time, you're proven right. So stick with it, ladies and gentlemen. 20 till, right back with Judith Glaser. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and checking it out. You can use our stuff at our site, or if you want, we'll follow you home with stuff. If you can pick out what you like, and there are many ways to subscribe there through either the blog, the newsletter, the articles. When we have new stuff, if you find what you like, we'll follow you home, or you can keep coming back if you want. Whatever you like, we've got something you can read or listen to. If you got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, we got something for you there, and I hope you'll check that out. Lots of stuff to help you with your small business. And then, of course, our Brain Trust, largest community of small business experts on the planet, and all right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Judith Glaser is our guest, folks. She's the author of Creating We, also the DNA of Leadership, and in a brand new book. When's the new book coming out, Judith?
The new book is coming out in August, if we keep our fingers crossed, and it's called 42 Rules for Creating We, and it was co-authored with 18 people, my collaborative,
wow.
My Creating We Institute.
Wow, good for you. And we expect to launch that on the show, by the way, Judith.
You bet.
We're talking about... is there really no I in team? And you say that there actually is I in team, but it is a challenge though, because you know humans. You know the problem with humanity, Judith, is the humans.
Yeah.
and so we all like to. It's a natural tendency to build our little silos, to put our little walls up, to let ego dominate.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's tough in a team, if you're managing a team, to have motivated people who have a little ego, who want to seek excellence. It's tough for them to actually thrive individually, but also be devoted to the team. That's a tough thing, isn't it? To
it is,
that.
But it isn't. And this is I think we make it tough in the way we talk about it. To tell you the truth, Tim. Because you mentioned a couple of things, and I want to just hit them because I know that your audience is really interested in these things. When you say we put up walls, we have silos, and we have egos, and all of that kind of stuff that shows up that seems to get in the way of building team is because silos come from, and walls come from, people who have been trying to speak up, and when they don't get a response from the group that they're speaking up to, they will form another group, and that's
right.
How gangs get created, right? If you, anybody who has studied... criminals and does interviews with them, and I had a chance to work in a jail once. There are a number of places that I started out doing research before I got into the world of business that taught me a lot. And it's every human being has a need to be important and validated in their view of reality and in what they can contribute. And in fact, the highest part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, is the part of the brain. It's the newest, it's the youngest, it's the most human brain. But what it tries to do is help develop all the rest of our brains, you know, our reptilian, our limbic, our neocortex, even our heart, in concert with our heart brain. It's trying to help us, each one of us, develop our unique talent and bring our strengths to the workplace. That's what the hierarchy of needs was all about. The last need was self-actualization. And so that's what we're all about on this planet. So if we get that that's the thing we need to focus on doing better, then we will reduce a lot of these other... issues that show up.
Problem, and this is where leadership comes in, mm-hmm. it seems to me, Judith. The problem is that's not our natural tendency to default to what you just said. Well, it's our natural tendency to be self-motivated, to be self-referential, to be self-involved. That's our, isn't that the natural tendency of a human being?
The answer is yes and no, and I'll tell you why. We are hardwired with protective instincts. That is the I part. And that's what the reptilian brain, the youngest brain, is all about. It's all very eye-centric. It's eat food. It's catch people. You know, it's handle threats. And that has more hardwiring because we've had that brain. We were, if you believe in evolution, that is the older brain. And that has more hardwiring that it brings forward into every human being. And we know this, by the way. You can unravel the DNA inside of human beings in our brains, and you can actually see, and this is true, this is not a lie, you can see the history of your genetics inside of your genetic code.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. So if you figure the weight is greater on the side of eye-centric living when we were reptiles and we were, you know, gorillas and all this kind of stuff. Now, I know you're not, but but when we had that weight, if you think of a seesaw, is much heavier on that side than it is on the newer brain. The newer brain, the prefrontal cortex, is the one that's trying to help orchestrate all of the messages that are sent inside of us, inside of our other brains, to each other to try to make sense of reality. And it's newer, and yet... And this is the stuff I started out with child development. That was my research fellowship. From the age of very young age, even 3 years old, young children start to develop that prefrontal cortex capability. Mm-hmm. Younger children empathize more easily with other human beings than we realize. They connect very easily. It's when a logical adult comes in and says, don't feel that way. That's silly to feel that way.
Right.
That we start to disconnect the capability.
So, Judith, how do we convert this to some kind of success in our small businesses?
Okay, here's the scoop. We have shapes that we talk about in our newest book, which is not even out yet. It's Beyond the 42 Rules book, and I'll share a little bit with you because I always give you my best stuff.
Right, thank you.
Okay? It is the following. We have shapes, and we use these shapes to describe the kind of conversations that leaders need to have to elevate people in the workplace up to their highest level of capacity to be more empathetic, to have better judgment, to be more ethical, to be trusting, all the things that you talk about on the show with all your guests. And so the first thing a leader in any size business can learn to do is create what's called the circle of inclusion with employees.
Mm-hmm.
That can be translated into a variety of things. And the circle of inclusion is a symbolic circle which has been living in history from the time of ancient people when they would get together and sit around a fireplace. And the purpose of this is to create a sense of community, a sense that we're all in this together. And there are everyday practices that people can do. You can start the morning, if it's a small company, and everybody just gets together and you have, you know, your coffee or something together. Everybody shares something about how their day went yesterday, or something personal, something business that you
want to
share.
Hold on to that thought, Judith. I like the way you're shaping this up with these shapes. We're going to come right back. Judith is going to help us incorporate all of this into our small businesses. It does work, ladies and gentlemen. Tintill, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Little Heart bringing us back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Judith Glazer. Judith is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of The DNA of Leadership, and more to come, ladies and gentlemen. This lady is just cranking out the knowledge, the newly charted territories in the area of our brains and the way our brains work and the way that translates into leadership. And that's the big thing that we always get out of her is how can we take this information and convert it into helping us become better leaders in our small businesses. Judith, we need to know how to contact you online, how to find your books.
And you can you can find my books at www.creatingwe.com. And you can click on the books, you can go to Amazon and buy them. And if people want to contact me directly with questions, or if you want to start something where we do something where, you know, follow up on this, it's jeglazer@creatingwe.com.
That's Glazer with an S, by the way.
With an S, thank you.
But I'm sure they can find your contact information there at creatingwe.com.
Yep. Exactly.
So check that out, folks, and look for the new stuff, and we're going to be reporting on that new stuff right here on the show. Okay, shapes, Judith.
Yes.
The circle. I mean, you know, when you said circle a minute ago, I couldn't help but think about Stonehenge. And have you been to Stonehenge in England?
No.
It's a fascinating place. And, you know, I mean, humans have been circling and meeting and getting together in a circle for as long as humans have been looking at each other, haven't they?
Yes, and in fact, isn't there something where they talk about these circles out in fields where they get the big circles start to appear?
Oh, the crop circles.
The crop circles, right.
Yeah.
And they're perfect circles, and they want to know how they're made, and they think they're from people from outer space who come down and do it.
So let's bring this back to Main Street, though, Judith.
Okay.
We're talking about the shapes and the small business owners are right now, 2009. A lot of small business owners are hurting. I got an email from a small business owner today, who just says, you know, I had 8 good years, and now my sales are off 50%. How can they take the things that you're talking about and help them survive, if not thrive?
Well, the first thing is that I need to send you a to make available on your website. We were just quoted, in fact, it's not even out on the stands yet, in Psychology Today, and it's Solutions for Working Through Fear. The whole section that I wrote with a woman named Carlin Flora, who is a writer for the Psychology Today, but it's how to become indispensable in scary times and how to work through fear. And get you know, clear on how they can use that. What it does is it brings a sense of community, even in the time when there's fearful issues going on around them at work and with other businesses and their clients. And it creates a calmness that takes place inside the brain. That amygdala, which we talked about, is the part of the brain that fires off when we're fearful, and it puts us into fight, flight, and freeze. It also sends messages. When that light goes on, and you'll read this in the article, when the amygdala light goes on, it turns off the lights at the higher parts of the brain. And without even realizing, people don't know it. We just know that we're in fear, but we don't know why it is that we're not able to think about new ideas.
So when you're saying that when we revert to our fear mode, we revert away from our reason mode?
It turns it off. It literally, it's like think of a house with 5 levels in it. And the lights go out in the upper levels. And the lights go on in the basement. And that's where people hover.
And now, if to me, the people that I know who are able to deal with these things, like people who are involved in emergencies or military people, training and preparation is what helps them not drop into the fear mode and stay in the reason mode.
Actually, what they do is they translate when they feel the fear, because every human being feels fear. We can't not fear it, right? Feel it. They use that as a signal. They have reframed what fear is for them. That's a signal to go into strategy. It's a signal to go up, to step up to another level in their brain, to search for comparable experiences they've had that they can use their wisdom and insight to do something about this quickly.
So when small business owners, you know, when I feel that here in my business, you know, I revert back into my experiences when this has happened before and how I lived to fight another day, even though I was afraid.
Right, and so what you've done is you've stepped into the neocortex, you've stepped into the limbic brain. Those two brains where it's our vault, the limbic is our vault of memories, and it'll bring up good and bad experiences like the one you just had. The neocortex will then start to think about what are the strategies that I used in the past. That happens very quickly in seconds.
And this is the training, but also you talk about these things in the circle.
Yes.
The leaders talk about this with your people, when you're having these conversations and you open up and you have this dialogue. Judith, I'm afraid we have to wrap it up. Will you come back real soon and talk some more about this?
Would love to very much. Love to.
It's always a pleasure. Give us that website one more time, quickly.
Okay. www.creatingwe.com.
Creatingwe.com. Thanks, Judith.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.